obviously, like many people, it's a movie I've seen a million times since I was a kid. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will agree. But there was something special about finally seeing it, A, on a big screen, and B, in IMAX and 3D. You know, you have this movie which is very famous for a first in film, which is going from that, a lot of people say black and white, it's kind of more of a sepia to color when Dorothy opens that door. So if that was the big kind of technological shift back in 1939 that people were blown away by back then, now it's cool to see the same exact movie and the same exact moment of that door opening, only now we're in 3D and IMAX, and it's kind of a, we've come full circle. I hope more movies do this, because, you know, there's so many remakes and reboots, sequels, prequels, but I hope we actually take more of these original movies and update them to whatever the new technology is at the time. Like right now, yeah, it's 3D IMAX, but, you know, 20 years from now, it could be hologram or God knows what else. But I hope we keep modernizing them to whatever the latest technology is so that new generations can discover it.
This is a movie that was already huge in scale. How effective was the 3D?
You either shoot something in 3D or not. And obviously, this is kind of a retroactive converting it to 3D. I mean, I think it does enhance it a little bit, mostly in the scenes where there's anything to do with kind of foreground, background motion. So I noticed it a lot. First of all, right off the bat, with when Glinda's bubble comes into Munchkinland, she rides in on a pink bubble from the very deep background into the foreground. Feels like that bubble is almost going to come, you know, pop over our faces. Or when Dorothy's house comes crashing down from inside the cyclone, it feels like the house is you know, plummeting towards our faces. Or another, just for an example of a musical sequence, in the Tin Man's If I Only Had a Heart sequence, he starts leaning from side to side. You know, a lot of people probably remember that scene. It's almost like he's leaning off the screen in both directions. So there's little things that enhance it like that. In the opening credits where the MGM lion is roaring, it's almost like he's sticking out at us. Same with the you know, the titles in their boldface drop shadow font kind of stick off the screen at us too. But just like when they re-released Titanic in 3D last year, or when they re-released Jurassic Park in 3D this year, it doesn't, you know, you're retroactively doing it. So it's not shot with, you know, the intention of certain elements like this is going to pop off the screen at you or that's going to pop off at the screen. You're kind of working with what's already there, but it adds a little more depth between what's in the foreground and what's in the background. So you might notice, you know, the lion, Scarecrow, Dorothy, and Tin Man feel like we're peering right over their shoulders as we're looking deep into the background at the great and powerful Oz, you know, the fire shooting everywhere.
And my guess is that a lot of people have only seen this movie at home.
For me, too, it was my first chance seeing it on a big screen. It really became famous during all the years of television screenings. A lot of people experienced the whole black and white to color transition because they had their black and white TVs and it only saw it like that. And as soon as they got a color TV, they realized, oh, well, it switches. It's not just a big screen. It is a big, super big screen because it's IMAX. That alone makes it worth going because, I mean, if you sit close enough, it's like you're in the movie. You have to almost turn your head left and right, up and down to be able to see the whole image. And it's a way we've never seen Oz. And the movie is almost such an immersive movie where she opens that door and she walks out into that colorful world that it's nice to have it all around us for a change rather than on a tiny TV set.